Jesus attacks the commercialization of religion by driving merchants out of the temple. When challenged, he responds mysteriously with the first prediction of his own death and resurrection. In the midst of a seemingly stable religious center, Jesus suggests that the center itself has changed. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 2, beginning with verse 13.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord. Anyway, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we as humans are good at messing things up, aren't we? I think we can all agree on that. That we have this amazing ability to take something that's life-giving, something that's good, and mess it up. I don't know if you've heard much about AI or artificial intelligence lately. It seems like this is one of those things that could have many benefits, but we've figured out ways to use it in ways that aren't so great. If you aren't familiar with AI, it's this kind of computer program that can learn and grow over time, and it has many different functions. I learned about it several months ago when a friend of mine who often preaches in the LDS church sent me a text letting me know about this app called ChatGPT that could write sermons for me if I just let it know what I needed. Now, he wasn't suggesting that we use it. He was concerned. Now, I have never preached a sermon from ChatGPT, but I have to admit that I did go out that day and asked it to write a Lutheran sermon based on a certain text, and I gave it a scripture text. And I have to admit, it was a little frightening how good the sermon was. Since that time, I've heard about how teachers now have to watch out for students using AI to do their assignments. I've even seen how someone can schedule texts and have your AI write your texts to your loved ones so that you don't have to take the time to do that. Now, there are good things about AI and potential for it to be so much bigger than the examples I've given. But it's just one of those things that could benefit us, but we figured out ways to use it to get out of assignments, to not to put effort into communication, and more. And the thing is, AI isn't always right. I found this meme this week. An AI-generated meme, Jesus flipping over the tables in the temple. I want to see your reaction. My point is that humans have this impeccable ability to take something good, misuse it, even when it comes to what we believe and our faith. In our first reading for today, we heard the Exodus account of the Ten Commandments, right? That law that God first gave to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. A law that helped them to understand how to love and honor God, and to live in community with one another. You see, God's law was intended to be life-giving, not restrictive or debilitating. For example, God commanded that the Israelites remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This law was given to them because they used to be slaves. They lived for generations in Egypt and never had a day off. They worked every day. So now God was commanding them to take a day for rest and worship. Why? Because it was life-giving and renewing. Over the years, the Ten Commandments stayed that foundational piece of the law, but the Israelites and God added more and more laws that were specific to the time in which they were living. If you dig into the Old Testament, especially Leviticus, you'll find lots of laws that guided how the Israelites would worship, how they would live more specifically in community now that they were becoming less nomadic, how they would remember their past, how they would honor God through things like sacrifices and more. And the law was a gift from God, but it was a way in which the Israelites started to think they could find favor with God, a way to earn God's approval, God's forgiveness, and more. So often, as we move into the New Testament and the Gospels, we find religious leaders then that have taken the law, and that's all they're concerned about. They can't see anything else outside of these rules that God had given them, and they've become restrictive, and they've become manipulative and hurting the most vulnerable in their community. They were, people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so concerned about the law that they couldn't see what Jesus had come to do. We see time after time where Jesus is doing something like healing on the Sabbath, and the religious leaders are so focused on following the law that they can't see the amazing thing that they just witnessed in front of them. This law becomes more important than what God is doing and more important than interacting with the living God. We see these times when the law is used to manipulate and control the most vulnerable people, and we're getting a glimpse of both of those things in our gospel reading today. You see, Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem for the Passover, and I imagine that there are many people that have traveled from all over the country to be there as well. As part of their Passover worship, people were required to make a sacrifice to God and to pay their temple tax. You see, they needed to present this appropriate animal without blemishes, so it was impossible to travel for any distance with an animal and keep it unblemished, right? So they sold them at the temple. And there were money changers that would change their currency from Roman currency to an appropriate temple currency without an image on it. It seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? It seems like that was a great thing that they would do. But again, we as humans mess things up. You see, these money changers and these vendors were more interested in serving their own interests and greedily filling their own purses than in serving God and God's people. Instead of helping people follow the law, worship God, and make their sacrifice, they were getting in the way. They had commercialized worship. This commercialization of worship meant that those who could not afford the costs were unable to worship God in the way that they wanted. And Jesus finds this unacceptable. They got it wrong. The law was supposed to be life-giving. It was supposed to bring them to God, not separate them from God, to allow them to worship. But instead, the sinfulness of some prevented many from fully worshiping God. So we hear from John what Jesus does, that he, making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." They had gotten it wrong. They missed the mark. Now, it would be really easy for us to sit here today and point fingers at those money changers and vendors and religious leaders who got it wrong and just shake our heads. But we aren't much different from them, are we? We get this faith thing and this following God thing wrong all the time, don't we? I'm sure there are times where our own actions have kept people from God. have kept people from seeing God, or maybe have given people a misconstrued image of God. And I'm sure there are times when we don't understand, where we take something that is life-giving and we just squeeze the life out of it. You see, we have the law, we have the Ten Commandments, just like the Israelites did. But we also live on the other side of the resurrection. So we have this other thing called the good news and the gospel. But we live this life of faith that balances the law and gospel. And it is a balance. Now you're going to have to kind of hang in here with me on this image that I found. I heard someone say once that the law and gospel were like a mug and coffee. They can't really function without, fully function without each other, right? The mug is the law. And an empty mug shows us where we have fallen short, what we are missing, what we are lacking. Now, for some of you who don't like coffee, you won't like this. The coffee is the good news, the gospel. It's the goodness of this equation. The coffee represents the forgiveness, life, and salvation, that gift that's given to us because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we just hold on to that empty mug, all we see is what we're lacking. And if we just have the coffee, there's nothing to frame or guide that goodness that God has given us. You see, the law helps us to learn how to love God and to love our neighbor. It's not a list of how to earn our way into heaven. It's not a list that we use to keep other people from God. The gospel tells us that Jesus has already done all of that, has saved us and loved us and opened the gates of heaven for us. Now, throughout this Lenten season, we have encouraged you to think about your faith story. And when we start looking back over our journey of faith, we can certainly see the times where we have messed things up or times when we have fallen short. I know for me, when I remember those times, it's those moments that I cringe, because it's all too obvious that in those moments I messed up. And maybe you have those moments too. But when we look again, we can see the moments where God's love and grace and mercy are carrying us through our lives, where God doesn't leave us alone, where even when we mess up, there is forgiveness and love for that. So yes, our life, we do mess things up. We have an impeccable ability to do that. But our life is a balance. It is a balance of law and gospel, of rules and good news. It's a balance, but in the end, the good news wins. Thanks be to God. Amen.